Spider-Man, Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes a Spider-Man.
Hey yo, and here we go. It is episode 121 of We Talk Comics, and I'm calling this Actually, It's About Santa in Comic Books Journalism.
You are?
that was what I wanted to call it. You can call it whatever you like.
Wow. I knew what we were doing. Now I'm just confused.
Is that an acronym for something, Keith? Because it would be way cooler if it was.
3% of our audience will get it. I am your host, Keith, and I am joined by co-host Chris. Say hi, Chris.
Ayo. I'm here. Hi.
Also joined by co-host Brett.
Hello.
It's been ages, Brett. Welcome back.
No, it hasn't. I was on 120.
It's been a long time since we did episode 120. It has been so long that we've invited back regular guest host Matt Centauri Griffith, who has been asking how many episodes he missed since the last time he was on, and the answer is zero.
This is how I was just saying, I don't have time to listen to podcasts anymore, so I just need to be on them so I know what happens. So just imagine if I'm not like listed as a guest host or whatever, that I'm just here hanging out anyway and just not saying anything.
So I think the key thing is that if you want Matt to listen to your podcast, you should email him and ask him on.
That's right. And at some point, Matt will do the math that it actually takes less time to listen to one than it does to appear on one.
Especially ours.
Especially ours. As we go offline to argue for half hour what the episode should be called. We are also expecting frequent guest Chris Duker to join us in progress. He is attempting to grocery shop on I don't know why you grocery shop on New Comic Book Day.
Probably because he was already out.
Could be. I don't know if any comic book stores in town are next to grocery stores that are conveniently located. That's one stop shopping.
Pretty close.
One of them sells Mike and Ike's in a machine by the door, which is close enough to grocery shopping for me. So we don't have a topic. What we're doing is we are kicking off the Secret Santa Story Exchange, which we do every year. And
I have to say, it's one of my favorites because people give me books to read that I wouldn't normally. I get excited about this every year.
We're going to have some other people in the Story Exchange, and coming up the week before Christmas, we expect to do the episode where everyone comes back having read their assigned book and talk about what they read. And then the way it works, if you are a new listener, is that about a half dozen or seven or eight of us are going to put our names in a hat. The assigned Santa does the draw and organizes everything because it's a little complicated. Whoever you draw, you have to recommend a book for them, trying to pick something they haven't read before, and hopefully trying to pick something that they wouldn't have selected for themselves. Say there's a Captain America omnibus by Brubaker that I would
never have expected kind of thing that to be come assigned. Up at all.
To read 27 issues of Captain America over a 2-week period.
Man, if I get you again, it's not going to be the Captain America omnibus. No, it's going to be like the not brand omnibus.
Brett, you are just lucky that Cerebus is not all available on digital. I would sign Church and State Volumes 1 and 2, which really should be read as a whole.
I'd have to read up to that point just to make sure that I was okay. So.
The complete works of Harvey Kurtzman.
I have been considering. I'm probably not mean enough to do A Drifting Life, which is a fantastic graphic novel biography of a Japanese manga artist that is just shy of 900 pages long.
Yeah, that's a little long.
That's one of the reasons that we put the rules in. You know, no omnibus, no 900 page.
Look, some guidelines as we experiment. Some guidelines have needed to come in. Also to be mixed into the story exchange, Mo, of course, and Jessica from the Hangout is intending to join us. And Brett, is there any? Can we say who the other person is that is putting their name in the hat?
Yes, Stephanie Cook from Talking Comics, another podcast that Matt won't listen to.
It's not that I won't. It's not willful.
He's not setting out to not listen to me.
That's right. Yeah, we were hoping to have Stephanie on tonight, but she's away tomorrow leaving on a trip, so she ran out of time to appear on our podcast. Sigh.
Winner. Well, while we're waiting for Duker, comic book TV. Who's watching what? Who has given up on what? Who has signed the change.org petition to save Constantine?
I didn't realize there was one, but I will sign it.
And also, it hasn't been canceled,
which is good.
Its season has been cut short.
It should be canceled. That is the one I wanted to like the most. And well, it's not good.
I've only watched two episodes. The first episode was not good. The second episode was. The pilots, I feel like pilots, except for The Flash, all the pilots were pretty rough on these shows. And but after that, they got incrementally better, depending on which show you're talking about. But I am going to watch the rest of them. I'm just woefully behind. The only one I'm totally caught up with is The Flash.
See, I also gave up on The Flash and Arrow just because I fell behind and I can binge watch those.
Yeah. I'm very behind on Arrow.
Yeah, I just don't want to catch up Arrow and then Flash and then, oh, wait a minute, I need to know something from Arrow because they're sort of interconnected.
Well, there is going to be a crossover, apparently.
Yeah, there's one episode where a character moves from one to the other, but it's pretty soft as far as a crossover goes.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a full-on crossover at... it's only a week or two. I think it's next week's episode, actually.
That might happen.
I will probably eventually watch the rest of Constantine. It is the best lit horror show on television. It is the only. If I were to have had to predict what Constantine would be like as a TV show, that the entire thing takes place in daytime is not something I would have picked.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
Actually, it's probably a better show, but I've read the comic books, and it's really coming out for me like a Reader's Digest version, where everything is wrapped up in an hour, and they just take out all the good parts.
I mean, I think it is obviously a network TV show, so it does suffer from that tad, but... you know, for me, one of the oddest things is just not seeing him with a cigarette in his mouth every second. But for me, the one thing that I take it as a success is that my wife enjoys the show. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, like that's a fine start.
My wife has given up every one of the comic book shows. She tried all of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But nothing tops Gotham for her. So.
I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is actually kicking ass right now. Really enjoying the second season.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. I did have a moment where I had a strange moment where I was looking at everything on my DVR and thought, I'm actually, since I'm caught up on Flash, I'm most excited to catch up on S.H.I.E.L.D. The addition of Adrian Palanicki, Palecki. Great addition to the show. Fantastic addition to the show. And Kyle MacLachlan being added as one of the bads of the season. Kyle MacLachlan, he's like Sriracha, man. He makes everything better.
Hello?
Duger.
Hi.
Hey.
How's it going, gentlemen?
We are joined by Christoph Duker.
Are you drunk?
No, I was at the grocery store wishing I had a red lantern ring so I could kill everybody in front of me in line because it was ridiculously annoying.
You know, that's legal if you got ice cream in your cart.
Nice. Nice.
Canadian laws are a bit different.
Right.
Law schmas, please. Apologies.
If the beer is getting warm, it's you can wound.
What do you need laws for? You all are too nice as it is. Like, you don't need. What are you? Who's doing anything wrong?
Or guidelines.
That's the whole ruse, Matt. Yeah. You see, everyone thinks that.
Yeah. Well.
Okay, we are.
Yeah.
Brett, maybe not. Mo, definitely not.
Yeah, you weren't. You guys obviously weren't around for the maple syrup riots of '89. So.
Which '89 was that?
1789.
I'm thinking it might be 2089.
Mo's not full Canadian, though. I mean, he's only lived here since he was like four.
Where's he from?
He's a Denmartian.
Okay.
Deutschland.
What we should do
that's
is.
That's not Deutschland, Chris.
That is so not Deutschland.
Okay. I just said I could let it go. I wasn't listening.
Yeah, we should do like a foreign exchange thing where you send Mo to the United States and I come up to Canada.
That would actually be perfect because you're a very nice person.
Yeah, I'm nicer than Mo.
That's what I meant. Yeah,
it's true. Yeah.
Got a grade not a curve there, though.
So what have I missed? Excitement and craziness?
We're easing into things, Duker. Comic book TV is what we're just chit-chatting, I've actually given up on Gotham.
It
just isn't working for me, and I know there's like shocked look from Matt. I know he's very disappointed in me.
We really love Gotham.
I love it too. I love it too.
I think Keith is just having some sort of bizarre reaction to Fish Mooney.
Yeah,
it is the character's contradicting continuity or something.
You know that feeling in your pants, Keith, is normal.
I wasn't digging Fish Mooney. It wasn't. It is absolutely 100% not continuity. There's I feel like she's in a different show than everyone else. She's in Tim Burton's Batman, and everyone else is in something.
Yeah, she's hilarious, and like I love every scene she's in.
When I first started watching Gotham, when I first heard about the show, I was not impressed. I was very hesitant on being excited about it. Then I started watching it, and I started hating it. And then the last 3-4 episodes, it's turned it around. And I'm like, okay, the show has a direction now. I can see it, and I'm enjoying it a lot more. It's a bit tighter, and the characters are starting to come together. So where I was at the beginning of not liking it at all, obviously I've completely changed my tune. So there you go. Keith, who said
Harvey Bullock's jacket? I love that jacket. I can't find one.
They stopped selling them in 1971.
Yeah, but if you got that in the hat, man, oh.
I like that Harvey Bullock is the only period piece of the whole show. The rest of it takes place now.
I haven't figured that out because no one's really used a cell phone yet. All the cars are sort of out of date.
They have.
Yeah, people use cell phones.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're like the old flip phones, whatever the hell those are.
It's true. It is true. Yeah.
That's because in Gotham they don't have iPhones. They only have them.
They're gonna have Wayne Tech phones at some point, 20 years from now. So. What other shows were bantied about? I'm assuming The Flash, Arrow, Constantine.
Flash, easily my favorite of the bunch. Shield, most improved.
Yeah.
And Matt, we could get Matt back to Shield if they killed off half the cast, which is what I was hoping for at the top of the
little more than half.
I was pretty disappointed when it
actually act.
Now, Matt, isn't it just Marvel prejudice that you don't have a love of Mockingbird or something?
I've got a love for Mockingbird.
Well, to be fair, I haven't watched the episodes of Mockingbird, but after the Captain America movie, which I love, I went and I watched the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s episodes that came after that because I was told, oh, they're so much better. And yeah, they were terrible. They were really terrible. And then
they weren't. They were awesome.
My God. Can one person on that show actually act?
No.
Kyle MacLachlan.
Kyle MacLachlan. Sure. There you go.
Right.
Excuse
and
me.
I watched one of the episodes at the beginning of this season, and I was like, nope, hasn't changed. So...
Wow.
It is.
I don't like Adrian Palicki anyways. Like I'm just not a fan of her, but I haven't watched any of S.H.I.E.L.D. since like about the third episode of the first season.
Oh, it was a tough slog getting through those first 10 episodes. It's just like every week I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like just do something interesting.
I didn't watch about 8 or 10 of the episodes from the first season. Like I'm really enjoying it now. And I'm practicing what I do in comics, which is if something's not working, I don't have to be a completionist. I can just not have had seen 8 episodes that I probably wouldn't have enjoyed.
It's true. Time is money. Money is time.
That's right.
my time's really not worth that much.
Easy for you to say.
But, that's time I could be rewatching Mike Tyson's Mysteries, which is the best show on television.
It's true. It is.
I haven't seen it yet.
You want to watch it.
It is.
And in Canada, we get it on Netflix for free.
It is brilliant.
You know, I'm 2 episodes behind, but I'm really digging Constantine, and I'm really pissed that NBC is going to can the thing. So, it's unfortunate.
Now, Chris, have you read the Red Hellblazer?
No.
I think that's the cutoff. See, if you haven't read Hellblazer, there's no sacrilege going on. But I think I'm way too attached to these stories they're retelling that I just see little problems all over the place with the show.
Well, from everything what little I've seen or read of Constantine over the years, they have an actor and a look that's just uncanny. Like done a great
the
job.
The actor that got them is great. I love him. I just the episode by episode.
I'm just I don't know.
Demon of the Week thing. I'm not digging.
You know what though? Every show needs its first 9 episodes to get it right. Like Arrow, the first 7-8 episodes of Arrow were like, okay, yeah, I can see,
but a lot of rough stuff.
And then all of a sudden, like, bam, it just took off.
That show became something in the second season. It was totally. Not, in the first. No, I mean, I thought that again. I thought the second episode of Constantine was very really good. They got rid of like the young stupid woman and brought in like an age appropriate actual smart woman to be on the show. And the only problem I have is that the Hellblazer comics that it's based on are not the ones I actually like. Mm-hmm. The ones I actually like are like the Garth Ennis run, and this is more based on the Jamie Delano run. So.
So, I mean, really, that's perfect then, because you can read the comic books that you like, and you can watch the TV series, and which has nothing to do, doesn't need to have anything to do with the comics you like.
I mean, I have read both. I mean, but yeah, it's just not my, it's not my favorite type of story. But that's okay. I will get to the rest of them. I'm just a little behind.
I do hope that Constantine gets picked up either by Netflix or even CW.
Yeah, it hasn't, NBC, it hasn't been canceled. I mean,
I know.
It had its order reduced, which happened to I mean, Hannibal only did, what, a 10-episode first season?
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, with 13, NBC's so fickle, right?
Oh, like that, 10 or 15. I think that's the hiccup for me, actually. It absolutely isn't the original content, what it's based on. I honestly could not give a crap that he doesn't smoke. I think it's a ridiculous thing to complain about.
The problem is he doesn't drink enough, and not enough pints of beer.
Dude, I feel that.
But yeah. It's in the time slot of Hannibal.
You would.
And it's like, I think it's a bit of a cop out to say that it's brightened because it's a network show, because it's on the same network as Hannibal in the same time slot as Hannibal. And Hannibal certainly wasn't as summertime frolics as Constantine is.
No, it's very true.
Yeah, it is a little weird. By the way, as this is a digression, but has anyone read the last two issues of the comic book Constantine?
I didn't read the newest one. I read the previous one where he's making his way to Earth 2. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm actually really enjoying it.
I'm starting to pile up all Earth 2 stuff, so I'll fall behind it along with everything else.
Speaking of Earth 2, I know we're on TVs, but TV shows, but
no, let's.
I've said it before, but Earth 2, Earth 2 proper, the comic, I'm really enjoying, and I'm really enjoying Future's End. And I didn't think I would. I just like the pace of Future's End. It's like there's always something happening. It's like boom, 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 boom. You know?
It really picked up really significantly. I think I remember the page where all of a sudden it like clicked for me. It was when Superman shows up.
Yeah.
Which ironically, the last page, spoilers, the last page of the first trade that just arrived in my mailbox the other day.
I'm three issues behind on it, but it's... And plus, you can read it in like 5 minutes. It's a quick read. It's like, hey, all right, done. Next.
I've been reading it on my lunch hour every Wednesday. It's the first thing I read. I love the it's my stories. It is like that 52 feeling.
Huh. Yeah, totally.
The pace is just right. It feels like I'm getting a whole chapter when I read it. It's not cliffhangery. Like, I mean, that's. I didn't like that in World's End, that it's cliffhangery on the issues.
Is it? I don't even know.
Well, I just for the first two.
I just couldn't pick up Earth 2 World's End because I'm already reading Future's End, which are like 50 of them, and then I enjoy Earth 2, the title. I picked up World's End number one, and it was just a recap of all the issues I had read so far of Earth 2. I'm like, fuck this. Well, I'm fucking done.
Issue one was the best of those issues. You're at. I think the monthly has held up really, really well. It's really well done. I'm loving all those stories. The weekly, I'm just about at 9 issues. I'm just about maybe liking it.
Of World's End, you mean?
But it has, yeah, it has turned around just a little in the last two issues.
Ooh.
But the problem is that there's like 4 artists on every issue, and that's one of my pet peeves. I don't mind the artist changes from issue to issue, like on Future's End. Although, honestly, I almost never notice on Future's End.
I think I might notice once I read them as a chunk, but I don't notice from week to week. No.
I think they chose wisely who they had working. Like, I can always tell when it's Patrick Zerker because I'm fond of his work, but everyone else I'm sort of like, oh, yeah, it's just Future's End. But the page-to-page change in World's End is really, it's really bothersome.
I mean, at some point they'll have a big 99-cent sale of all of these weeklies and all.
And I can read them all.
That's right. Just I hit the add all to cart button, which I dream of using every week when the new comics come out. Like, what's out new? And I see that button in the corner that says, just add all the cards.
Batman Eternal. I want to read it so bad, but I'm so far behind. I just need that sale. And Black Friday's coming. My fingers are crossed. That's what I have picked out.
Yeah, Batman Eternal's been good, too. But it's not quite as soap opera-y as Future's End. Future's End really is... like that perfect soap opera.
You know, the way I agree with you, Matt, and the way I feel about the Batman books, just on a side note, is it's kind of, and I love Batman, but it's almost kind of becoming laughable where DC almost needs to spin off all the Batman books to its own, almost like a Vertigo, or like not into Vertigo. What I mean by that is its own little entity. Like, here's all our Batman stuff. Here's our Batman universe. There's so many books. There's what, 11 now or something?
Well, at this rate, the new 52 will be Batman books.
Yeah, well, totally.
Entirely. Like,
part of that is because they brought in a group editor who really knew what he was doing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and did we ever have that conversation about the Batman stuff?
No.
We did?
Just keep going.
Oh, okay.
I'm interested in this. What did he do?
So he went in and he just basically got everyone to pitch the most creative thing they could. And so you sort of saw it start a little bit with Harley Quinn and Grayson. And then in October, they just launched out everything else. So you had Arkham Manor and Gotham Academy, which is exceptional. And those two comics could not be more different from each other. They got an entirely new creative team on Catwoman and Batgirl, both of which are... I loved Batgirl, but I'm, like, totally in love with Catwoman. It's basically like the... I think I said in my review, it's The Godfather Part 2 meets The Dark Knight. Huh. And... released this week Gotham by Midnight, which is the sort of Gotham PD / Spectre series with Ben
Tolsmith. Do we know that for sure? Because Corrigan pre-New 52 was a different Corrigan in Gotham Central than the Spectre Corrigan.
There was no more Spectre Corrigan pre-New 52. But yes, Jim Corrigan has appeared in Batman Eternal, and he is the Spectre.
Okay.
Yes. Now, will he appear as the Spectre often? Unlikely. I think it's going to be one of those things like, you know, he's only there. Like, Corrigan is the lead, not the Spectre. But so that just came out this week, and it was just gorgeous, like utterly gorgeous.
And Matt, are those spinning off of out of Eternal? How much Eternal do you have to have read to get these?
I was talking with someone about this today. I really think that as long as you sort of know the basic premise of the comic going in, you don't need to have read Eternal at all. Eternal's good, but so for instance, Catwoman. The only thing you really need to know from Eternal is that she found out who her father was, and he was the former Don of basically all of Gotham. And so she's taken over.
Which they tell you again on the second page of Catwoman.
Pretty much, yeah. So that's really like none of the characters were in Batman Eternal. None of the setup. That's all in the comic. Gotham or Arkham Manor, you just have to know that Arkham Asylum blew up. And that's pretty much it. Gotham Academy doesn't roll out of it, but by the way, Gotham Academy is amazing. Batgirl doesn't really roll out of it. You find out everything you need to know in the first issue. Batwoman also has switched a little bit up. It's a team book now that she's pulled together, this sort of supernatural team with Etrigan and Ragman and some other people I can't remember. And
you just spent $40 of my money, man.
Yeah, sorry. I'm not grooving on as much as the others, but I might at some point. Gotham Academy, Arkham Manor, Catwoman, Batgirl, Gotham by Midnight, all of these books are just unbelievably great. And so the editor of the Batman group, Mark Doyle, really got them got the creators to pitch these very divergent types of books. And so what DC has now learned from this is that, hey, we can loosen up a little bit. And the rumor is that when we see March solicits, we're going to see a lot of cancellations. And then when we see June solicits, we'll be seeing a lot of new books across the DC universe with a lot of different tones and creative teams.
The new 72.
Yeah, I don't know if there's going to be more, but there'll be different comics.
Well, do you want to talk? Hey, you want to say something on this, Duker?
Oh, I just wanted to, unless we were going to talk about it later, but I just wanted to say something about event comics really quick.
Well, that's where I was going.
Oh,
so as Matt said, things ending in March and beginning in June. Why that leaves a 2 month gap, Matt?
Yes, it does. Maybe something will be happening in that 2 months.
So for 2 months, we won't have the new 52. For 2 months, we're getting the old 40. We are getting an event called Convergence, which is a 2 month event. In the real world, this event is fill in the time while DC moves their offices from New York to California. So they are doing 42 issue miniseries that are taking fragments of old continuities. In week one, they are pre-Flashpoint books that Matt, if they specified how long after what we saw, basically what it is that
one of them said about a year.
Yeah, so these a bunch of cities have been taken from the old continuities and put onto it's like the Secret Wars world, and we'll get to Secret Wars in a minute, which sounds like exactly the same event. So these cities have been put in domes. They've been taken away from Earth by someone Brainiac-esque, though not Brainiac. And time has passed in the middle. I don't know what that was. Someone tossed them
off. That was me.
That was me. Sorry.
So time has passed. In week one, it is the pre-Flashpoint continuity. We have Barbara Gordon is still Oracle. She is engaged to Dick Grayson. Superman and Lois Lane are married. They are expecting their first child. So each week we're getting 10 books. We're getting a Batman and Robin. We're getting the most exciting, I think, for me is Greg Rucka and Cully Hamner doing The Question, pre-Flashpoint Renee Montoya Question. Week two is a 90s throwback, incorporating some of the Wildstorm characters in that one as well. This is pre-Zero Hour, right, Matt? A Zero Hour-ish.
Yeah, I would say right around there.
Is that where we're getting the tangent books from?
What they're doing is the main DC... the weeks are based on the main DC timeline, but they're incorporating things like the alternate timelines, like Kingdom Come, Tangent, Wildstorm stuff. Like some of that is bleeding into these books in various ways. So it's not a clean lifting out of 10 samplers from, you know, midnight.
I really hope Axis comes back. If you don't remember who that is, everyone, he was the creation of Marvel and DC Comics during and after the Marvel versus DC event in like 1992.
I know. We know you're the only person that likes it. So
maybe I have to read it again to hate it.
Week three is pre-crisis. Out of 10 books, Titans is somewhat interesting to me, but there's a Justice League Detroit book that I'm all over that. Wonder Woman in a
The most underrated league.
Wonder Woman in a white jumpsuit, written by Larry Hama.
Interesting.
Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes. A Len Wein Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
When's Booster coming into it, Keith?
Pardon me?
When's Booster coming into it?
Still no word on Booster.
Yeah, but I'm betting week four.
He's got to.
Week four. Well, that's 3 weeks. We are days away from finding out what week four is. Let's throw out predictions. We've had so 2011-ish, 1994-ish, 1984-ish.
I'm guessing the sort of 70s multiverse. 70s, 80s multiverse. So Earth 2 book, Earth 3 Crime Syndicate, Earth 4 Charlton characters, Earth S Shazam family, Earth X Freedom Fighters, Booster Gold, to tie it all together at the end.
I'd have to say I think it's going to be I hope it's going to be a Vertigo run. A return of the Doom Patrol. A special issue of Hellblazer. Just do it adult for a week. I don't... It's a long shot, but that's what I want.
Just a week was suggested for mature readers in the upper corner.
Yep.
All Helix titles. That's what, that's all, what I want.
That's certainly a wild card is you know, the Hellblazer, Swamp Thing, Doom Patrol,
Kid Eternity. Animal Man,
Kid Eternity. Yeah. Brett, any prediction?
Probably not. I would say like what Matt said. If I had talked first. I wouldn't have said it anywhere near as eloquently for that
because I don't think they're going to go back to the 60s. So the 70s is the last week we have. What is that fourth week going to be if it is in the 70s?
You counted them wrong again.
I counted them wrong.
Oh, what about the million, 1 million issues? It'll jump ahead to the future.
Gold Superman.
I hope we don't return to the year 1 million.
The year 1 million.
I don't know if they've mentioned 1 million yet as one of the, because some of them are rolling in, but I don't know if 1 million has been mentioned yet.
So maybe a return to the Stan Lee universe. No.
Well, that is one of
just imagine.
That is actually one of the that's been recorded as one of the multiverse worlds. The Stan Lee world is exactly opposite. I forget which one. It's exactly opposite something that we've already seen. Maybe Earth 16. I don't know.
Is it Earth 8 maybe?
Earth 8's
the pseudo Marvel one.
Yeah.
Have you actually made sense of the multiplicity map? Because I've stared at that hours and I can't.
The DC website now has an interactive one.
I stopped caring.
All of the worlds that have been shown in the multiversity books. We might as well
stop the podcast now because I got something to do.
That's what it is. The Stan Lee Earth is Earth 6. So the Just Imagine Stan Lee Earth. Mm-hmm. And that's a directly opposite Earth 51, which is the Jack Kirby Earth.
Oh, okay. That's the Commandy Earth?
That's the Commandy Earth with the New Gods, maybe. But yeah, cool. Definitely.
New Gods aren't on an Earth.
The current New Gods, yeah. I don't. Well, whatever.
Commandy and OMAC.
And OMAC, right, yeah. But,
And Fantastic Four, because Marvel doesn't want them anymore.
God, bite your tongue.
Now, is Grant Morrison's Captain Carrot a different Captain Carrot than the original Captain Carrot?
No, I think he is the original Captain Carrot. It's just depending on what world he's in, it changes the way he looks. I think that's the deal. Is he looks more cartoony on a cartoony world, and he looks less cartoony on a non-cartoony world. The reason why I think that they're going back to like the original multiverse worlds is because in the Convergence like promo piece, the only things that haven't been mentioned in solicits or shown are they show like Infinity Inc. and the JSA, which seems like a huge omission if it's not going to be in week 4. They did show the original Crime Syndicate. They did show the Charlton characters, the Shazam characters, the Freedom Fighters. They have mentioned like Wildstorm. They've mentioned the Zoo Crew. They've mentioned Tangent, Flashpoint, Kingdom Come, Red Sun, Commandy. A lot of these have already been shown. Although the DC 1 million is in here, and we haven't heard anything about that yet. So,
when did Infinity Incorporated start?
It was an 80, early 80s, so like 83-ish.
So we should have expected that in week 3 and didn't see it.
See, and that's why I think it's going to be like in a sort of Earth 2 scenario.
I could see them doing... they may go full-on Golden Age. The week 3 already has a lot of the Silver Age characters in it, except Hal Jordan's not in it. The Green Lantern book has Guy and John.
But are they Silver Age or are they Bronze Age? Mm. I mean, the Legion, they're all wearing their Bronze Age costumes. Wonder Woman's in her white suit. Supergirl's with her headband. I mean, those are all like late Bronze Age.
Well, Wonder Woman's jumpsuit is more late 70s, isn't it?
That's
rats. So they're kind of, I mean, they've mushed a bit of the time differently than they have with the other ones.
I mean, it's not any one year, obviously. It's jumping around a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, New Teen Titans, it's very, because of what they're wearing, you can tell exactly where in the timeline they're from, which is... You know, and Swamp Thing was created in the late 70s. They say when Hal resigned, which was a very particular moment. Barry Allen is the Flash, but it's not very specific about when he's from.
Well, week 4, it could be all Booster Gold books, for sure. Booster has not been seen yet.
It could be Booster Gold. It's like a Brave and the Bold.
Yeah.
Except it's Brave and the Gold.
Yep.
And
the Gold. Ten team books.
Booster with the JSA, Booster with the Doom Patrol, Booster with the Inferior Five.
I would actually predict we will not see Booster Gold in that event. I think the New 52 is gearing so hard towards him that the week after Convergence is going to be Keith's heyday, where we get a whole bunch of announcements involving Booster Gold or issues.
It is nice that Booster is finally appearing again, no matter which version it is.
There's at least 3 floating around.
I have knocked around Chris's idea that it could be a Vertigo week. Because it hasn't been picked, I'm going to pick. I'm going to pick DC Implosion. DC Explosion Implosion. We've got Firestorm. And I think probably like early 70s to DC Explosion. Adam, Firestorm.
New Gods.
New Gods, yeah. The Fourth World stuff.
Adam? Like Adam and Hawkman?
Yeah. Because after the explosion, they did the 8-page backups. Adam was one. Adam, Aquaman, and Airwave, Green Arrow, all of them ended up in 8-page backups, which would be, if I was in charge, all of the fourth week would be a DC Explosion and would have 8-page backups.
Right.
Well, that would be kind of cool. We could get Neil Adams to draw some stuff.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't write it.
Yep. This is supposed to fill a gap. There's no way we have the time for Neil Adams to write something.
Right.
God.
But here's the other thing is I've sort of been a little detective on this is they're not duplicating titles. So like when they had the first Flash book they announced was called Speed Force. And the latest one is The Flash. They've done Justice League America and Justice League International because they're not duplicating the
name. Interesting that And interesting, Booster is not in the Justice League International book, at least in this list or on the cover. Yeah. Blue Beetle is, but Booster isn't.
And Red Tornado is, which is weird. Yeah, I mean, who? A lot of these are interior shots, so that might not even be the cover. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see, like, did they call it Supergirl Matrix because there's another Supergirl one, or did they call it, New Teen Titans? And I mean, is there going to be a Teen Titans? I don't know.
Another wild card is the whole fourth week is old TV and movie version.
That's
Batman,
interesting.
Batman 66, Christopher Reeve, Superman, Smallville.
You know what? If it was the digital universe, I'd be all there.
Helen Slater, Supergirl.
How about week five, digital universe? Is that happening?
Can there be a fifth week event in the middle of Convergence?
Yeah.
Right.
Or no, sorry. Week 2.5 then.
It comes out on a Saturday.
Yeah.
and meanwhile, while DC is doing this event where a bunch of cities are put in domes and taken off to a world to interact, Marvel is doing an event next summer where a whole bunch of cities are taken away and put on a world to interact.
Yay.
All based in old continuities. This is a clash of the nearly identical crossover events. Marvel's Secret Wars. And we just this week saw a map of the Secret Wars battle world. And 40-odd different old continuities that are being getting portions of them transported to this battle world. I noticed the Marvel. Distinct lack of new universe in this. New universe was shown in the. New universe
well,
was shown.
Well, they had
in the
to make future. Room for Beyond Your Shoulder Pads. So.
there are three worlds that have not been revealed. I find it hard to believe that new universe is one of the ones they held back.
I don't know. I mean, they did some work with the Star Brand, so maybe.
The new universe characters are shown in their 80s version in on the Alex Ross wraparound cover that was released at San Diego.
Mark Hazard
Burke? New York. Mm-hmm. It was not Merck. No, it was Star Brand and Night Mask, but Night Mask's older costume. 80s costume.
Ooh, I wonder, this is the perfect opportunity to bring back the Malibu universe.
It is. If they had even the slightest interest in doing that, this would be the birth time.
Yes.
Or the rights to do so.
Oh, they absolutely have the rights, but they...
I thought in order to use any of those characters, they actually had to consult the creators to...
No, they have to pay the creators.
Oh, pay... Okay. Yeah, that's not
therein lies the problem. Yeah.
It's much more difficult for them than just consulting people. No, they would have to pay them, and then therein lies the rub. We're getting Domain of Apocalypse, Egyptia, Technopolis, Kunlun, Weird World, 2099, Monarchy of M, Mutopia. Hitting a lot of the old events. This is what. Caused a kerfuffle for a couple of weeks as they announced all of the they put out a teaser every day for an event and marking it as summer 2015, freaking out a lot of people. As they got to about 20 events announced. Thoughts on this?
You know what? I want to say something really quick, and we get back to the main crux of what you're talking about here. But based on Marvel events in the last, I don't know, 3 to 5 years, I liked Civil War. I quite did like it. But since then, there have been many events that have just jumped up and failed miserably. I won't get into the Rage of Age of Ultron. Anyway, I just skipped over Original Sin altogether. I'm glad I did after reading the reviews of it. And but events in certain characters, like for example, Spider Island and the most recent Spider-Verse stuff, like for Spider-Man, they're always nailing it. And they're just fun, and it's like, especially the Spider-Verse stuff, I didn't think I'd enjoy it as much as I am. And I'll enjoy that until we eventually get down to Secret Wars. So, yeah, there you go. There, I just wanted to toss that in. So, as much as Marvel does piss me off, they do some things that are pretty fun and pretty good.
Are they they're currently in the middle of like, two events, right? They
still no, it's going just on? It's just Axis right now.
Just Axis right now. Okay.
And it's fun. See, the problem is that well, I suppose it depends. I mean, if you consider the Spider-Verse
an event, Spider-Verse is still going on.
Then yeah, I mean,
it's a pretty big event. Into itself, like they're doing a ton of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's all kind of really like if you like Spidey, then I think you'd love it. It's fun. It's every Spider-Man, Spider-Woman,
Spider-Thing. I actually don't like it very much.
No.
I expected to like it because I'd been really interested in Amazing Spider-Man and it was going, but I think it's a little slow for my taste.
Okay.
I am actually a much bigger fan of Axis right now. I really like what they've done with Axis, especially the Carnage book, I think is great. But my biggest problem with Axis is that I did read some of Original Sin, and Axis has negated Original Sin almost instantly. And it's kind of like, wow, what the hell was the point of Original Sin at all?
And there you go. There it is. There's my whole thing with Marvel, Brett. You just said it. Hey, check out this event. It's going to change everything. Oh, look, a new event. It's not changing anything. Awesome. Didn't happen.
I could see in Original Sin how it could have changed a lot of different things. And then they did Axis, and it was just like, Original Sin. Oh, yeah, never mind. It wasn't that good. Actually, I'm enjoying this new one much more. So we'll forget the old one.
What makes me vaguely interested in Marvel right now, and is vaguely, is they just announced Ultron Forever. And I've seen the covers, and they seem to have a black female Captain America. Or maybe he's badly drawn. I can't tell. And a male Thor. So
what? A male Thor.
A male Thor. Can we be losing the female Thor this quickly?
No.
I don't think so. But I mean, what do I know?
It looks like an older version, like an older version of Thor. I don't know. It's a wacky
Thunderstrike. Could it be
Thunderstrike? It does kind of look like Thunderstrike, yeah.
Okay, I don't think we're losing the female Thor anytime soon.
It is Danielle Cage, the Captain America of the future. Two generations of Thor, present day Vision and Black Widow, James Rhodes, Incredible Hulk, two generations of Thor, and Danielle Cage.
All right then.
I would agree. It's still poorly drawn if it's a woman. I think it's poorly drawn either way there.
But it's Alan Davis. I've never seen Alan Davis draw that poorly. So
maybe it's the inking.
There you go. Thanks to sponsor Comicosity for all of the information I needed on to answer the questions on Ultron Forever.
Our pleasure.
I should read the captions underneath the neat little pictures occasionally.
That would help, you know, almost for sure.
I don't do it in the comics. I don't know why I would on the news.
I don't read the comics. I just
look at the pictures for 30 years. With no idea what happened to any of them. Well, the Chris Claremont books were a totally different story. So.
Well, I'm working very slowly, I will add, through the original Jack Kirby Fourth World run, and I'm trying very hard. Like I avoid all of the box captions. Just read the actual word balloons. But it's still like I started out and I thought, man, this is good stuff. Like what? you know, I'm really enjoying this. I don't know why people have a problem. And then I got to about 15 issues through the run, and I'm like, oh, crap. Now I know why. It sucks.
Dude, how many times have I told you? Small quantity. Very, very small. I love Kirby, but it's not a binge read situation.
Oh, it isn't. Yeah, you gotta pace yourself.
It's an issue. Savor.
Go ahead, Matt.
Maybe like one issue of every book, like a Mr. Miracle and a New Gods and a Jimmy Olsen, and then take a break.
I can't even do that now because I like Mr. Miracle, but Jimmy Olsen makes me want to like throw myself off a building. Like it's
Jimmy Olsen is my favorite of the Fourth Wheel Shop. I love you got the building the town of hippies built in the forest with, I mean, that's some crazy stuff, man.
Oh, if it just stayed there, it's actually that I hate Superman in it. Like every time Superman appears, it's just but like, it's oh, Jimmy, you're Superman. Such a young lad and so stupid and so not me. You know,
it's about the whiz wagon. It's about everything else around Superman.
Yes, but Superman's a dick.
Well, that's my feelings of Superman in general.
It's the Bronze Age, dude. Yeah. Superman was a dick.
Yep. And I just don't really want to read Superman in the book, so that's generally why I don't like it.
Yeah, but usually in issue, he doesn't show up to, what, page 16 or 17? You only got 5 or 6 pages before it ends.
Well, I know, but they're always it's always the end of the book, right? So therefore, that's my last memory of that issue before I go on to something else. Superman's stupid.
So what odds are we giving that Secret Wars is a Marvel reboot?
25%.
12.
10.
17.5.
And 17 probably, and a half?
Probably 0.5. It's got to be 0.5.
5 is wishful thinking.
That's why I answered last. I was doing the math.
Yeah.
Well, when's the Ultimate Universe getting killed off? Is it next year?
Wasn't it like five years ago? Like,
every 6 months for the past 10 years.
Right?
You know what? I got to say, I've said it before, and yes, I'm a Spider-Man fan, but I didn't think... I picked it up on a lark when it first came out, the Miles Morales Ultimate Spider-Man, and holy shit, I've been reading it ever since. It is so good.
Oh, I love that. And I have no doubt, no matter what happens, that book, that character in that book will survive.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
But that is an exceptional book. That and Ms. Marvel are like top of my read piles whenever they come out.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I got my first taste of Ms. Marvel in Amazing Spider-Man 7 and 8. 7 and 8? Anyway, and she's a fun little character. I haven't read the proper title, but...
It's really good.
Yeah.
I've been buying it for my niece, my 8-year-old niece.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's good on Marvel to have a book like that. You know, that's accessible for everyone, right?
Yeah, well, and that's like Gotham Academy is that book at DC right now. Hopefully there'll be more, but that's the book that kids, I've been buying that for my nieces as well.
Cool.
It's like if you like Harry Potter and you like Batman, it's a mashup of Harry Potter and Batman.
So it's been out a week. How many times have you read Pax Americana?
I think I read it 3 times before I wrote the review, but I haven't been able to get back to it since because I've been busy.
I read it 3 times forwards, 1 time backwards, and once in the recut chronological order.
Interesting.
Yeah, I got to do that.
I read it once.
Just forwards?
Just forwards. I didn't realize that there was another another order for it. But that being said, I would absolutely read it in another order. I just don't find time to go back and reread the damn thing. So reading them once is enough.
This is why I hate you.
Wow. I get that a lot.
No. Because I love that first issue of Multiplicity. I think I got that right.
Nope. Wrong. No, but keep going.
Not at all. That's
I love that first issue of Grant Morrison's I'm going to, like, crap over the DC Universe, and it's going to be awesome. But I want to read it in a huge chunk. So every week, I just keep clicking on that little icon that says, do you want to buy this book? And just reading the summary, and it makes no sense, and it pisses me off, and I almost buy it every week. But I'm out. I'm waiting for the 12 to be done, and then I'm going to gorge myself in Grant Morrison goodness, in his nutritious vomit. It's going to be awesome. But now I want to read it all over again. How dare you? This is my off week. It doesn't come out this week.
I was supposed to be relaxed.
I shouldn't be tempted to get it. But now that you say it's awesome, I'm going to have to catch up. Why the hell are you doing this to me?
It's only been three issues.
Okay, so
I know, but I'm missing two, and it's killing me.
Okay, wait a minute.
How am I going to make it?
There's only eight issues. And
Okay. And
none of these issues, you can read every single one of these issues by itself. So you can totally just get Pax Americana. It doesn't refer to any other. It does very obliquely, but it's its own story.
No, I just want a piece. I want a chunk. I want a Grant Morrison evening. There's not enough Grant Morrison out there for me to have an evening unless I trade weight this sucker.
Really? And there seems to be a lot of Grant Morrison out there. Or maybe
what haven't I read?
Well, there's new stuff. Like, are you reading Annihilator?
No, actually, I didn't even hear that one. Actually, still either.
Yeah,
who the hell is publishing that?
Legendary.
Okay.
It's art by what's his name? Who drew the Clarion series?
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris, these are all standalone, and if you're just looking for an evening, then I do recommend Pax Americana, and I'll send you the link of where you can get the where you can read the reassembled in chronological order issue.
Send it to me too, because I want to read it. Yes. I loved it. So
yes, to give credit where credit's due, Fraser Irving is the artist on it.
I was about to say that. So yeah, I think we've had like three issues out of that. Nameless starts in February, and that's from Image.
And I finished Happy a little while ago, so.
Yeah, I didn't love Happy. I liked the first issue, and then after that I fell off and didn't like it anymore. But I like the guy later because it's gorgeous.
I can't even remember Happy, and I just read it like a month ago.
It didn't stick in my head either, yeah.
I thought it was doing one thing, and it ended up doing another, and I wasn't thrilled with it, so.
Apparently that's the end of the Grant Morrison conversation.
we've drawn to a close on Grant Morrison.
And scene.
We'll talk for just a couple more minutes. What else are you reading that's is knocking you out, Duker? What's your favorite book right now?
excuse me, Letter 44. Charles Soule. What's that?
I'm behind on that. I really want to catch up.
No spoilers. It's excuse me, it's awesome. Like, it's so much fun. And Roche Limit.
Yeah. I still haven't read those.
Read it.
I have those stacking up.
Yes, Roche Limit. Read it. And Letter 44, seriously, give it a chance if you think, I don't know, political kind of space mix match. Yeah, it's really good. It's really fucking good. So, just saying.
The West Wing beats Starship Troopers. It's awesome.
and then as always the Spidey books. I'm loving Spider-Verse, unlike Brett, but there you go. There's my three. Anyone else?
Brett, nothing but Axis.
Well, I like the Carnage one a lot. That's from Axis, that because I just enjoy what they're doing.
What are they doing with that? Because I'm obviously, being the big Spidey guy, I actually steered away from it just because I just like the whole event itself. I was like, I don't know if I'm even going to get into it because of, you know, what Marvel's really pissed me off in the past. So is it actually worth the pickup?
Well, I think it is. I like what they're doing with the whole, you know, good guys are bad, bad guys are good. And I like Carnage because he feels the urge to be a good guy, but he still has the desires to kill everybody. So it's that like little war inside, and how he needs to have somebody around him to tell him that he's doing bad things. And so I find it pretty funny, and I think it's a good, it's cool. A good book.
Cool.
Let's see. I like, well, Lazarus is probably my favorite series.
Oh yeah.
Right now.
That's a given.
Yeah. I love Lazarus. And overall, like, and this is really weird for me, but I really like Batgirl.
Yay!
And it's just so crazy. I totally didn't really expect to like it, but I read the second one of the new creators, and it was just like, oh no, wait, I like it. Oh, yeah, well, crap. Okay then. And I read a fair chunk, but I'm trying to figure out what I would say that I like the most afterwards. I really like God Hates Astronauts.
Oh, I want to pick that one up.
That's a fun
one. I think that is fantastically funny.
What issue are they on now?
I think three, four coming out soon.
Yeah, and I haven't read the first volume yet.
I didn't read the first volume either, and I just wound up starting this one on a whim kind of thing, and I don't think I need to know much about the first volume.
It's, no, I don't.
It's fine. Sorry. Me am laughy and have funny, so all good.
How many issues in the first volume?
Five.
Okay, so they did a five issue series, then they restarted
they had kickstarted a graphic novel, and I think it's been, was serialized.
Okay. All right.
I've been binging Batman 66. A friend of the show, Scott Kowalczyk, did the art on the last two issues, which are phenomenal. So I went back and I'm reading, I just finished the entire series. I'm now up to date, and it is so much fun. I don't know why I stopped reading it. I just did, and now that I have all the issues, I think I'll go back and reread them all a second time, because I'm sure I missed so much goofy fun. Also today, Van Breed Studios presents Big Zeke came out in the Comixology Submit. I had a ton of fun with this book. Ron Mars writes a blaxploitation book. It's fun. Not a lot to it, but I giggled my butt off. And as long as I'm throwing out digital titles, once again, Injustice, it can do no wrong. Every week, it just makes Thursdays happy.
Nice.
Well, I'm digging so many of those books. So I don't want to repeat Multiversity. I will admit that I was a little skeptical going in, because I have not enjoyed quite a bit of Morrison's work over the past couple of years. I did wonder if the Emperor had no clothes. But Multiversity is old times. It is, I read Pax Americana, got to the end of it and thought I think I liked it. I, my actual reaction was, I'm pretty sure I liked it, but I don't really know, because it was so much going on. And then, you know, once I went through it, like another time or two, really had that old magic again. The Morrison doing the big brain stuff. And as I have always said, when he plays in his own sandbox, that's when his stuff is best. So I'm really, really digging Multiversity, and I got a wild card book. It is better than it has any right to be for what it's called and what it is. Django Unchained and versus Zorro.
Zorro, yeah.
Wow.
It is so much better than it has any right to be for what it is.
It's it amazing.
It is just.
I hate you guys crazy. Spending all my money.
It's just a crazy book.
If I had watched Django Unchained, then I would have read the book.
You've never seen Django Unchained.
No, it's 2 hours and 45 minutes. I don't
know
that kind
of
time.
It's a great movie. It's a great movie. It goes by fast. It's a good movie.
You watched that over 3 lunch hours.
Yes, you're right.
You can get a real flow for a movie when you watch it in 3 chunks over 3 days.
Oh, totally, yeah.
like the filmmakers intended.
Yeah, in 5-minute chunks, yeah.
Well, that's the way I watched Ben-Hur. I watched it in eight half-hour chunks.
Yeah, only at work. So it took just under 2 actual weeks to. and I had 2 lunch meetings, so that means it went into a third. Yeah.
It really seemed a much more scoping epic when you spread it over 2.5 weeks. So.
Yeah.
Use some scale. Matt, besides all the Batman books, which are your jam, what else are you liking?
Yeah, so I mentioned Catwoman, but yeah, I love Batgirl, of course, but Mimetic from Boom Studios is a 3-issue miniseries. The second issue just came out. Really, really excellent. I recommend it to anyone. James Tynan's writing, and it's post-apocalyptic, but it's about what happens when a internet meme causes the downfall of the human race. And it's really awesome. I'll say this. I think it's really awesome for anyone, but particularly if you are gay, you should definitely, definitely read it. It has, in the second issue, it's very, very moving. And I was very, very impressed. And I'm getting to see James on Saturday, and I bought the issue so that he could actually sign them physically. But yeah, I was really excited about that book. Another book that I really have to pump up right now is Justice League 3000. So yeah. It is.
I love the end of 12 for sure.
I mean, just
I stopped after 4.
Oh, go back.
You can come right in at 11, right?
Yeah,
11. I hadn't read anything since number 2, and I was totally fine entering it.
1 through 10 is the story, and then 11 starts and is like an interlude.
Yeah.
And 12 is a one shot starring Booster Gold and Blue Beetle, who are now back in together and in the year 3000. So I just did an interview last week with Keith Giffen and J.M. DeMatteis about Blue Beetle and Booster Gold, which is pretty much my 12-year-old self's dream. So it was just, I mean, unbelievably exciting to be able to do that and talk to the two of them. The next issue comes out next week. So probably about the time this podcast gets posted, it'll be on its way. And it's old school Blue Beetle and Booster Gold, and they're going to be, you know, hanging out and bouncing off this Justice League. And it's a really funny book. Howard Porter's art is really awesome. It's really worth checking out. And if you hang around till January and February, then you'll get to see Fire and Ice again as well.
Cool.
So yeah, that's been great. And, otherwise, Witches from Image is a really awesome book. Scott Snyder and Jock doing the art. Just really incredible. I recommend that to anyone.
Can I just jump in one more time? The book I wanted to mention, too, that I should have mentioned was Black Science. It's incredible.
I don't read that one. Who is that?
Remender? Yeah. The artist's name's escaping me now. Someone jump in. But it's awesome. Black Sciences. It's so good. I have a lot of space books. Weird. 2 years ago, I would not have. Right, Brett?
Yeah. But two years ago, you still would have thought that that every crossover that Marvel did was awesome.
It's true.
Matteo Scalera.
He's in tight,
by the way. Yeah. He doesn't care. That's fine. He's drunk, so it's all good.
All right. Well, that's a perfect way to end an episode kicking off Christmas.
I was getting yelled at in my house.
Gee, there's a surprise. Get a job!
Oh, you kids. It's just nothing. See, this is just like they're celebrating. We're celebrating American Thanksgiving right now by arguing with family.
That's true. A bunch of nice Canadians arguing their asses off.
You can't sleep in my house, too.
Damn it.
All right, so we will be back with even more folks on the around the middle of December, right prior to Christmas. We're also starting to plan the Comic Creators Calgary Comic Creators Summit. The amount of comic creators in Calgary has skyrocketed, ballooned, exploded. I think my contact list is up to 23 or 24 people working at some level in comics that live in the city, including Scott Kowalczyk, whose Batman is available print and digital this week, Batman 66.
Mm-hmm. So awesome.
I, of course, support your local comic store. But I will say that the book is really something special digital because it's a DC2 book. So, you know, 126 pages is today's issue. 126 pages. And of course, local boy Riley Rossmo's new book, Rasputin, is also another one that if you're not reading, you should check out. It's really cool. That's it for me. Let's do the round robin. Everyone say their goodbyes. Say anything you want to plug. Brett?
I get next to nothing. I actually want to plug. I enjoyed The Remains, which I did review for Comicosity. So I could urge people to check that out. It's only 99 cents on Comixology. So, I mean, fabulous.
And add to cart.
Yeah. and only 4 issues. So that's $4 of your money that I'm spending. So there you go. But yeah, otherwise, that's about it for me.
Chris.
Once again, I got nothing to plug, but once again, Big Zeke was a big hit for me from Van Breed Press. That's it. Follow us on Twitter. I'm Chris. Follow me on Twitter. I'm Chris_WeTalk. I'm not supposed to give that out anymore, but I love talking on Twitter occasionally.
Duker.
excuse me. Yeah, since the last I was on the show, I was with comicbooktherapy.com for the last 4 years, which I co-owner of. But I've since left, and I'm starting up my own site called geeknerdnet.com, and you can find us on Twitter at geeknerdnet. The whole focus of the site, in a nutshell, is creator-owned comics and the fun comics you may know and some you don't. And that site's going to be launching very soon. I wish I had a date for you. Working really, on it feverishly.
You gave me a date like, what was it, 2 weeks ago you gave me a date. But
I did.
Isn't
I
that
got,
date passed?
And then I got ridiculously sick for 10 days. But thanks for that. But anyway,
no problem. I'm looking out for you, you know.
And you can, so GeekNerdNet, that's my new venture. It's pretty awesome. It's going to be fun. And you can also find me on my personal Twitter at comic_Canuck. That's it. Thanks.
And Matt.
All right. Well, you can find me on Twitter at Photocub, FOTOCUB. You know, there's lots of great stuff on Comicosity right now. As I mentioned, I just did this really incredible interview with Keith Giffen and J.M. DeMatteis about Blue Beetle and Booster Gold. It's part of a series that we're starting called Super Buddies, which will be focuses on best friends in comics. So I'm looking at talking to creators about Betty and Veronica. We'll have Giffen and DeMatteis come back to talk about Fire and Ice. There's a few other people lined up. It's really a lot of fun. And I also want to say, you know, Comicosity is Very pleased to be able to announce today that we've added 4 new contributors to the site, 4 new writers, all women, who will be joining us and adding their voices. So we're super excited about that. And just come by and check us out. You'll start seeing reviews from everybody in the next week or so.
I want to say, Matt, that I really like the mandate of Comicosity. That's why I like being involved with the site. And I was talking to someone a couple weeks ago about where I'm at with my fandom, and I said, you know, I want to be more like the mandate says on Comicosity, that I want to be about encouraging the enjoyment of comics and not talking about what's wrong with them.
Right.
And I think we did a lot of that tonight, talking about what's awesome and what you should be looking at. And with that, we are OUT.